This is Sally, and I'd like to welcome you to our final phone session of the Art of Tantric Meditation. It's, as always, a great pleasure to be with all of you and to feel the gathering of our meditation sangham, our weekly satsang. And this week we're going to go into some of the more playful practices of Tantra. And as always, we're going to allow the energy of this vortex of meditation to take us into our own inner state, our own inner lusciousness. So, because we're doing a lot of different meditations and covering some ground tonight, we're going to begin precisely on time, and I know that some of you will be arriving a little bit later, and of course some of you will be arriving via the teleconference, via the MP3. So, as we gather here, let's just start by bringing our attention into the body, creating for ourselves a comfortable upright posture. You'll remember to have props handy so that you can make sure that your hips and thighs and buttocks are a little elevated. And as you bring your awareness into the body, into this moment, imagine yourself literally drawing your attention back from whatever, wherever it's been in the last day, so that you very deliberately, very consciously, bring your awareness into the body, into this moment, into the center, into being present here with all of us. And we'll continue by chanting the introductory mantras, the mantras invoking the presence of that awareness, which we'll call Shiva, which we call the underlying ground of being, the Shivaness, the consciousness, the pure awareness at the heart of everything. And then we'll recite the prayer for offering our practice, dedicating our practice for the benefit of all beings. And then we'll enter into our first meditation of the evening. So if you need your mantra sheet, please have it with you. Allow your awareness now to come into the heart. Have the thought, as I chant, I open myself to that energy that pervades everything, and especially pervades my inner being, from the physical to the subtle to the causal to the very, very highest, ultimate, supercausal state of myself. By the power of our practice, we ask that all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that we rest in an equanimity that knows no grasping, no hatred, and no ignorance. We ask that we know the equality of all that lives. Now, sitting comfortably erect in your meditation posture, feel that the inhalation brings the hips and thighs and sitting bones into very grounded contact with the seat, and that the exhalation allows the spinal column to flow upward, to flow, elongate, to rise from that base up through the crown. Allow the shoulder blades to release onto the back as the chest lifts and opens. We're going to practice now for just a moment or two spinal breathing, allowing the breath to flow in and out through the central body from the core of the pelvis up to the throat. And this time, as we let the breath flow easily and naturally, we have this sense that with the inhalation, the breath rises up through the central body, up towards the sixth chakra, the Ajna chakra in the head, and down with the exhalation towards the core of the pelvis. So the breath comes in, rising up to the sixth chakra, the Ajna chakra, and with the exhalation it flows down the center of the body towards the core of the pelvis. You're letting the breath flow in a very easy, natural way, but with your attention, with your intention, you're guiding the breath up and then down through the central channel in the middle of the body. And now you bring your attention to the Muladhara chakra at the perineum for men, just at the base of the cervix for women, and sense the presence of a tiny tube that runs from here up through the center of the spine, up into the third eye. And now with the inhalation, imagine that a tiny light or a little circle or seed of energy flows up from that place at the Muladhara at the base of the spine, up through the center of the spinal column, up to the third eye center. And then with the exhalation, it flows down the spinal column, down to the base. And you can slowly allow your attention to find its way into this tube in the center of your spine, the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel, which you might experience as a slender thread, or literally as a tube, as an opening. And with the inhalation, this little seed of light or energy flows up the center of the spine from the Muladhara at the base, up, up to the sixth chakra, and with the exhalation, it flows down. And if the breath doesn't want to take you all the way up to the third, to the sixth chakra, you can allow the breath to stop at the throat or even at the heart at the top of the inhalation, and then allow it to flow down through the center of the spine down to the base. Very, very gently, you're interiorizing your attention, allowing the breath and this imagination, this inner invocation of the light, the energy that wants to flow up through the center of the spine and open this channel that connects your chakras, that connects the energy at your base to the energy in your head. Just allow the breath to flow in this way, easily. No forcing. Simply using the power of imagination and presence. Now you can allow your awareness, your attention to relax and release. Let the breath flow in any way that it naturally wants to flow. And yet noticing that your awareness is naturally centered a bit more inside the body, maybe deeply inside the body. And as you sit now, as you sit with your attention just a little interiorized, have the feeling that there is a being, a loving, benign presence, a knowing, sweet, nourishing presence that surrounds you on all sides, that literally cradles your body from the air, and that's aware of you, that's looking at you, that's seeing you from every particle of the air. You simply see yourself, this body-mind that you call by your name, you see yourself through the eyes of this being. You open yourself to be seen by the presence that lives in the air, that lives in the atmosphere, that lovingly and unconditionally holds you and all of us. Let yourself be seen in all your human complexity, in your beauty. Let yourself be seen in your vulnerability. Let yourself be seen in your restlessness or your peace. And as the breath moves slowly and gently, you know that you're known, that you're loved, that you're held. And just for now, let yourself settle into this awareness, into this recognition, this essential recognition that the universe is loving, that the universe is intelligent, that the universe holds you. And as we enter into the next part of our practice tonight, see if you can stay with this feeling that you're being held, that you're being seen, that grace, the power of grace, supports you on this journey, on this pilgrimage. I've always found that one of the most powerful ways that we can practice meditation, not to mention life itself, is with the awareness that we're on a pilgrimage. You know, when you take a pilgrimage, you understand that the journey itself is the practice. And you make a vow when you go on pilgrimage that everything that you encounter on the pilgrimage will be seen as a step to the goal. So whatever inconvenience arises, whatever states arise, whatever discomforts or blissfulness arises, it's actually all part of the pilgrimage. And as you do this, as you practice your meditation journey this way, it actually gives you a greater and greater ability to open more deeply to the sacred in the everyday. And it's this devotional feeling, this bhava, this devotional attitude, which begins when we feel that we're seen with love. It begins with the feeling that we're seen with love. Because none of us can really love until we feel loved. And this recognition that we're held, that we're loved, that we're seen, is really the deepest secret of tantric meditation, in which we teach ourselves to allow the mind to recognize its own freedom, and also to allow the body and mind to recognize that every particle of the air, every particle of the earth, every particle of the natural world, and indeed even the world that we've made as human beings, is holding us. And this is what in some circles is called opening to grace. That recognition that sacred presence holds you and surrounds you is, it's not some ancient teaching. It's not something that we say to make ourselves feel better. It really is the deepest truth. And understanding this, letting ourselves notice this and return to this, is really the art of moving into and through the seams of reality. We start by learning how to move inside the seams of our own awareness. And as we do that, we discover that we also can move with a kind of intuitive, flowing ability through the seams of reality, through the seams of the universe, so that literally, instead of bumping into the harder aspects of reality, we learn how to flow through them and pass them. So part of this ability to move tantrically in the world comes from, first of all, being willing to recognize presence and lovingness in the universe. And secondly, as a result of practicing letting go and acceptance. The acceptance comes from recognizing that we're loved, which teaches us to love ourselves. And the letting go comes from recognizing that because everything is an aspect of the Shakti, everything is always changing. And that the more we can allow it to change, the more that inner experience of freedom becomes real for us. So the entrance into letting go and acceptance, along with a recognition of the loving presence that surrounds us, will start to let us look differently at all the qualities in ourselves and at the qualities in the world around us that arise. So it's these attitudes, these fundamental tantric attitudes of recognizing presence, letting go and acceptance, that can allow us to notice what comes up, know it, see it as part of this overall field of living, aware presence of conscious energy. And you begin to recognize that everything about you can lead you to the depth of yourself, to the depth of your inner body, and beyond. So, in tantric meditation, even though we practice with concentration techniques and working with the energies of the inner body, and we're going to be doing some different practices during this session, sort of in the style of speed chess, we're going to be doing several of the practices from the Vijnana Bhairava, the great text of tantric meditation. But at the same time, even though we practice, and even though the practice is our anchor, what we always understand is that the goal is not the technique itself. The goal is not to master the technique, even though some of us will. The goal is opening to the presence inside the technique, the presence of inside your inner body, the recognition of your own brilliant awareness and beauty. So the concentration technique allows you to refine your perception. The acceptance and letting go practice lets you soften and open. And as you begin to become aware of presence around you and inside you, you actually start to be able to surf the different qualities of energy in each of the inner centers and in your inner body. And the real payoff of the practice is the moments when our identification starts to shift, so that instead of identifying ourselves by the thoughts we're having or by the inner state we're experiencing, we actually start to identify ourselves as the presence itself, as the awareness love that's contained inside these bodies and that's actually coming to us through the universe. And this shift in identification is a really big deal. It's described in different traditions in different ways. One of the popular ways to describe it is that you stop identifying with the story of who you think you are, and you begin identifying with the one who's present to the story, with the one who's aware of the story. In Tantra, that experience of being aware, of being the knower of the story, is always accompanied by the felt sense of the energy, of the Shakti, of the ability to feel and sense the fundamental sweetness of your own energy. And I'm calling that sweetness, that feeling, sense, presence. It's a wonderful way to describe it because, of course, there actually aren't any words for it. It's a felt sense. It's a knowing sense. And it's really quite palpable. It's an experience that's energetic, that's can be very blissful or can feel even harsh or sharp at times. But what you're experiencing as you tune into presence is a closer and closer recognition of your own fundamental Shakti, the Shakti that's become you, and that it's also deeper than who you think you are, that's greater than who you think you are, and which is always tending when you turn in this self-reflective gesture of meditation, which is always tending to take you past the denser aspects of yourself into the subtle. There's a beautiful story by the Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard about a prince who was unusually homely. He was kind of a frog, and as luck would have it, he'd fallen in love with one of the most beautiful princesses in all the neighboring kingdoms, and he had many rivals for this young woman's hand. He knew she would never choose anyone as ugly as himself, and he was completely smitten with her. So he decided to resort to magic. And the story goes that he took a journey into the forest and he approached a witch. This story took place in India. We'd say he approached a secret tantric magician. And the witch said to the prince, "I'm going to give you a mask to cover your face, and it will be so lifelike that it'll join with your face. It'll become part of your face. Your face will become beautiful, and the princess will love you. And in exchange, of course, this is what always happens in these stories, you have to promise me that when your firstborn son is 7 years old, you'll bring him to me, and I'll bring him up as my own child." So the prince agrees. The witch does a few spells, and she puts a mask on his face of magical skin, which is completely lifelike. And when he looks in the mirror, he sees that he has become utterly gorgeous, as beautiful, if not more beautiful, than the princess. And, of course, he marries her. They live together happily, and they have a son. And as the years go on, and the child gets older and older, the prince becomes more and more desperate. And finally, he realizes that he just can't give his son up. So he journeys into the forest. He finds the witch, and he confronts her, and he says, "I'll give you anything you want, but I can't give you my child." So the witch says, "I'll take no other fee. If you don't give me your child, I'm going to take the mask back." And with that, she reaches up, she tears the mask from his face, and then she falls back in utter astonishment, or maybe it's fake astonishment, because maybe she knew how it would be all along, because the prince's face has molded itself to the mask, and he has become that beautiful face. Now, there are a few ways of interpreting this story, but the way I like to interpret it is that it's about the power of identification. So when the prince began to live behind the mask, to identify himself with that beautiful face, to identify himself as beautiful, his face came to match his inner feeling. And even though this is a symbolic story and life isn't quite like this, it's also one of the deep truths of spiritual life and one of the classic teachings of Tantra, that what we identify with creates our inner experience. And of course, what this means is that if we think of ourselves as a victim, as persecuted, we will tend to attract experiences of victimization. If we think of ourselves as unworthy of love, we very often, let's say, bypass the love that we're actually receiving. And above all, when we think of ourselves as limited, we experience our limitation. So the practices of inner body tantric self-recognition are actually deep ways of shifting our identification so that we can start to discover, to recognize that we are free, that we are beautiful, that we are loving, that we are loved. Now, of course, you have to take this with a few grains of salt, because mere identification is probably not going to turn a klutz into a basketball star. It's an inner practice, and to affect change in the outer world, you also need to make effort on the exterior planes. But in the inner realm, it's an utterly unerring truth that as we transform the way we identify ourselves, it doesn't just shift interior patterns. It also shifts the way the energy of consciousness, the Shakti, manifests through us. So when we stop seeing ourselves as small, as screwed up, as unworthy, or even, if we don't have any of those neurotic characteristics, as simply the result of our genetic heritage and our upbringing, our place in the world, we actually shift our level of consciousness. We up-level, as one of my friends says, we up-level our consciousness and eventually recognize that we really are sacred. We really are consciousness. And it all begins with the moment that we consider as real, as true, this deep tantric truth that our consciousness, our reality, is made of the same subtle suchness, the same dynamic presence as the consciousness at the heart of the universe. my all-time favorite line in the Indian philosophical tradition comes from a text called the Yoga Vashishta. I like to quote it, and I quote it a lot. It says, consciousness plus thoughts is the mind. Consciousness minus thoughts is God. So our consciousness, the presence that we experience as the stuff of our mind, is not different than the creative consciousness of the universe. And that's the deep truth that Tantra celebrates. So even though our awareness, our sense of self, may be relatively dense and contracted at any given moment, because our consciousness has that intrinsic power, we can at any time recognize the divinity inside ourselves and identify with it and use that power to untie the knots of our limitation. So the poet Keats once wrote, I believe in only two things, the holiness of the heart's affections and the truth of the imagination. And even though, of course, he was speaking as an artist and he was speaking about personal affection and personal imagination, he was also giving us the truth about reality. The holiness of the heart's affection and the truth of the imagination is actually the deep truth about the universe, about our own consciousness, and about that presence that we call God. So, in essence, tantric meditation is simply about refining, redefining, re-examining our body, our inner body, our awareness, our mind, in order to use the scientific powers, the scientific methods that Tantra offers us, using our awareness to be aware of itself and practicing with the kind of effort that's infused with softness, the kind of effort that's actually an invitation to consciousness to reveal what it is. And with that awareness, our identification begins to shift to subtler and subtler levels until we can identify ourselves as the subtlest aspect of ourselves. So today we're going to practice with the three centers once again to bring ourselves back into the practice that we've been doing for the last 3 weeks. But then we're going to do some more playful and adventurous practices, some of the practices from the Vijnana Bhairava, the great text of tantric meditation. And we'll do this partly for fun, partly for the sake of play, and partly for the sake of inspiring you to work with different techniques, to be playful with your practice, to see how they feel, and to recognize that at any given moment, you can use one of these techniques to just completely shift your awareness of yourself. So as we prepare for our speed chess meditation practice of this evening, you might want to stand up and stretch your body. Or not stand up. Perhaps just bring your hands overhead, clasp your palms together, turn them up. Stretch up. And inhale over to the right side, curving your body over to the right. Exhale over to the left side. Do this a couple of times. And then close your eyes and let your spinal column make very small circles. You're just circling your torso until you become aware, which this practice will do, of the axis that runs from the base of the spine up through the crown of the head. The base of the posture becomes heavy and grounded. The upper body rises up through the crown. The shoulder blades release down the back. The chest lifts. The crown of the head rises. The chin tilts just a little bit. You become aware now of this tube of energy that runs through the center of your body. Some of you may find it inside the spinal column. Some of you may find it in front of the spinal column, down what's sometimes called the front passage, running through the center of the body, from the base up through the crown. And now, inhaling, allow yourself to breathe into the center between the eyebrows, breathing in very, very softly. The breath flowing in as delicately as an extremely gentle breeze on a warm summer day. And as the breath flows in, as it touches the center between the eyebrows, it comes in with the thought, acceptance. Acceptance as the tender recognition of your own beauty, of your own right to be here. And with the exhalation, it flows out with the thought, letting go. Letting go of anything that holds you down, anything that limits you. Letting go of the furrow in your brow. Letting go of any thoughts that are arising. And because we're touching our inner body now with the breath, you can let the next inhalation bring your attention down to the heart. So the breath now flows in and out through the heart. And as the breath flows into the heart, it flows in with the thought of acceptance. Profound acceptance, acceptance of the energy in your heart, acceptance of your life, acceptance of all the qualities in yourself that you might wish were a little bit different. And with the exhalation, the breath flows out of the heart with the understanding of letting go. Whatever tensions you find in your body, whatever doubts, worries, contractions, you're just coaching them to let go. Breath comes in with acceptance. The breath flows out with letting go. Now you bring your attention down into the deep center of being below the navel, into the belly center. And as the breath flows in, you allow your attention to move through the lower abdomen, letting your attention move from one side to the other, from the front to the back. So you actually have a sense of the belly softening and opening. So the breath can flow in and down towards the belly with acceptance. And flow through the belly and out of the body with letting go. And now just for a moment, as your focus centers in the belly, in the huddha, also become aware of your capacity for knowing, for seeing, for awaring. Become aware of that in you which knows that you're meditating, that you're breathing, that you're awake. Just for a moment, within this sphere of concentration in the inner body, notice the awareness that knows what you're doing, that knows your thoughts. And recognize for just a moment that the breath and the inner body are aspects of the Shakti, the feminine dynamic presence power of reality. And that your knowing capacity, your knower, your awareness, is the presence in you of Shiva, pure consciousness, the divine masculine. And allow yourself for a moment to recognize how these two aspects of your being, the dynamism of breathing and focusing and sensing the body, and the open witnessing awareness that's detached and yet present to the juicy, blissful play of your bodily experience. Recognize that these two polarities are the divine masculine, feminine, feminine, masculine, the Shiva Shakti, the intrinsic divinity of your life. These two aspects of yourself, the dynamic, playful, complex, constantly changing quality of your Shakti. Your Shakti, which plays as the prana, as the movement of breath, as your capacity for focusing, and also as the felt sense of your inner body, of these centers in the body. So this is your Shakti. And the awaring, the consciousness, the witnessing capacity, which remains apart from all this, and yet enfolds it in its own subtle presence, is your Shiva. And these two aspects of consciousness, the freedom and transcendent quality of Shiva and the fullness and utter immanence and power of the life force Shakti, who's manifesting as your individual self. These two aspects of being, these two aspects of reality, are in constant dialogue. And it's really through our recognition of them that we bring this subtle dialogue into play in the world. And the practices that we're going to be doing tonight, the kind of speed chess dharana practices. Dharana means concentration, but it also means a particular concentration practice, which we do for the sake of self-recognizing, of allowing ourselves to tune into the presence of sacred space, the presence of divine space in the midst of any moment. So these practices that we're going to be doing come from the ongoing subtle conversation between these two aspects of consciousness, Shiva and Shakti. And the story goes, the mythic story goes, that Shiva and Shakti, who live in us as awareness and presence, as awareness and vital force, Shiva and Shakti exist in a subtle realm where they're constantly in dialogue, sometimes in erotic play and sometimes in philosophical conversation. Their erotic relationship with each other is a constant conversation about the nature of reality. And in this particular text, which is called the Vijnana Bhairava, or the experiential knowledge of the fiery one, which is a name of Shiva, Bhairava is a name of Shiva, Shakti, the immanent aspect of awareness, the presence, the life force, taking the role of the student, asks Shiva a question. And the question she asks him may be the ultimate question. So what she asks him is, given the fact that there's so many teachings, so many practices, so much conversation about what God is and how we experience God and what it is to recognize the Supreme Reality, tell me what it is. Tell me what the truth is. How can you be known? How can the eternal absolute awareness, which is so subtle, so elusive, so hard to know, how can it be known? And he says, that is indeed the ultimate question. And I'm going to give you the answer out of love, because by you asking me this question, you give me the opportunity to make this teaching available and to show all those beings who will ultimately come in contact with this conversation many, many practices and techniques for bringing ourselves into relationship with our own sacred self. So he says, none of the descriptions in any religious tradition even begin to touch this reality, because the truth of what I am can't be expressed. It can't be known because it's the knower. It can't be perceived because it's the perceiver. However, he says, through you, through Shakti, through the dancing, ever-changing presence, blissful presence of my own power, who is the face of the unknown divine, through genuine focus on Shakti, Shakti will bring people to the awareness of what I am. So he says, the energy within form, the energy within the world, the energy of the body, the energy of the mind is the face of the ultimate unknowable divine. So we come to know the unknowable by coming to know the face of the Shakti, by coming to know what our body really is, by coming to know the spaces between the breaths, by coming to know the voids within the body, by coming to know the madhya, the central point, the center within the spinal column. We come to know the ultimate reality by looking deeply into the subtle spaces that exist inside the physical and subtle worlds. So, as long as we have the sense of being an individual, as long as we have a body, as long as we have a mind, we invoke the ultimate by moving into the Shakti, by moving into the subtler and subtler recognition of what it is that is moving our body, of what it is that's moving our mind. So to recognize that the power in us that creates thoughts and ideas, that seeks answers, that asks questions, that power is the divine feminine life force energy. And the deal is that if you can coax the power inside the mind to identify itself with the universal, to let go of its tendency to be fooled by all the words and thoughts and experiences that it constantly creates, and turn back into recognizing itself, if you can identify yourself with the power inside thoughts, inside breath, inside your body, then all of those things, all of those experiences begin to reveal what they are. So, in these practices, what we're actually doing is starting with that in us which is gross and dense and subject to immediate recognition, and then going a little deeper with it. And one of the more playful practices, the one that we're going to do now, actually works with the physical body. And it's something that you can do at any time, in any moment. So if you've gone into a trance state, if my voice has sent you into meditation, I'm going to ring the gong and ask you to wake yourself up. It's a little bit like the nurse waking you up to give you a sleeping pill because we're going to go into meditation. But the joy in this practice is the specificity in it. So wake up. Refresh your posture. Now raise your arms to shoulder height and make a circle with your arms as if you were holding a big beach ball. So the arms are a few inches below the shoulder height so that they're comfortable. You can feel relaxed. They're not too high. But your arms are in a circle, and holding the circle, focus your attention simultaneously on the space inside each armpit. Focus your attention simultaneously on the space inside each armpit. And imagine that the space in the armpit is totally empty. There's a void inside the armpits. Infinite space is inside the armpits. You're meditating on the void within the armpits. And if thoughts arise, just let the thought arise and subside. Keep your attention in the void inside the armpits. Just keep bringing your attention, your awareness, into the space within the armpits. The void within the armpits. The void within the armpits. Is the great void. It's the space at the heart of everything. It's the empty fullness. Where consciousness can recognize itself. Just focus on the void within the armpits. The space within the armpits. So you can bring your arms down, rest your hands on your thighs. And maybe some of you would like to tell us what that was like for you. If you'd like to say something or ask something, you can press *6 and unmute yourself. And if *6 doesn't work, try *7.
Sally, this is Angelina.
Hi, Angelina.
Hi. I found my body, I was really hard to hang on to my body. It kept disappearing.
Aha. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, how this little doorway between the armpits can actually dissolve your body?
Yeah. And then there was a strange relationship to a kind of a structure because my arms were still out and they were getting a little tired. So it felt kind of like a structure, like a Guy Fawkes holding this pieces up.
Yes, like there was, I understand what you mean. It's sort of like a ghostly structure that was holding a kind of emptiness. Cool.
Yeah, so there was a structure, but it was just all space.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, thank
you. How do you feel now?
I feel very good.
Yes, and it's a particularly good practice if you're feeling very dense, which I'm sure you weren't. But
I actually wasn't, but I definitely did. I'm glad I don't have to drive anywhere.
Yes. Yes. Well, you'll be even gladder when we finish the session today. Thank you, Angelina. Someone else, what was it like for you? I think it may be *7. So try *6, and if that doesn't work, try *7. What was it like meditating on the void of the armpits?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Riku. For me, it was that I had to keep thinking about the void of the armpits that couldn't really feel it as such. And so it's, as a relatively beginning meditator, it was more of a process of trying to find a place where my arms were actually comfortable.
Right. Okay.
But it was more of a mental focus rather than a feeling.
Good. And that was probably true for some others as well. So I would give you, if you decide you'd like to do this practice, another way you can do it is to rest your hands on your thighs and just create, just bring your arms a little bit out from the body so that there's some space between your upper arms and your torso, which simply makes it easier to experience that place between the armpits. So thank you, Ritu. Anyone else?
Thank you.
So we're going to do another... hello? Is that someone who wanted to say something? Okay. So we're going to do another emptiness practice, which is less physically taxing. And this is one that I discovered at a time when I was going through a real dark night of the soul. I was, my every night I would kind of lie in bed and think about how unhappy I was feeling and how much my life wasn't working. And then one night, I was reading the Vijnana Bhairava, and I found this practice, and I did it. And for the first time in weeks, there was absolutely no sense of that there was anything wrong with my life, that anything could ever be wrong with my life. So there's something about emptiness practice that really can take you very deeply past your stuff. So here's one, and you can refresh your posture if you need to. And now imagine that your body is completely empty. Your skin is like a membrane, like the skin of a balloon. And inside it is just space. Your body is filled with space. The breath is flowing in and out. And you're just allowing yourself to sit with the awareness of the recognition that your body is space. And inside that space now, we'll add another thought. This is how this practice is described. My body and the whole universe is filled with my own unconditional bliss. My body and the whole universe is filled with my own unconditional bliss. So your body has become empty. Underneath the membrane of your skin, your body is spacious. And from inside your body, from the very center of your body, you begin to contemplate the quality of tenderness, the quality of softness, the quality of sweetness as you may have experienced it. Perhaps there was a time when you felt very deeply the preciousness of another person or the preciousness of a moment, the sweetness of your connection with another human being, with a lover, with a child, with a pet. And you remember that moment of tenderness, of affection, of softness. That moment of great sweetness. And then if you have remembered a moment, remembered a person or a place or an animal, you can remove that thought and allow the sense of sweetness to fill your body with a soft, vulnerable feeling of tenderness. So the space that was in your body is now filled with tender affection. And for just a moment, you experience that tenderness, that affection, is also filling the universe. It's everywhere around you. Your body and the whole universe is filled with unconditional tenderness. And there may be parts of your body that feel more open than others, so just notice, feel where you're open to tenderness, inhaling it and exhaling it, not judging the quality of the experience. Just recognizing my body is filled with unconditional, tender affection. And if there's any feeling of untenderness, of unsweetness, just notice it. Breathe it in. Let it dissolve inside the spaciousness of your inner body. And then imagine tenderness flowing out with the exhalation. You're breathing in unconditional sweetness, tender affection. And breathing it out, feeling it flow out beyond your body and into the world. And as you inhale, you fill yourself with a sense of tender affection, and as you exhale, it flows out. And you feel it embracing the room, embracing the other people in your house or your building. And if any sense of resistance or obstruction is arising, just breathe into it and then breathe tenderness into it. With each inhalation, the space inside your body become more open, more vulnerable to the infinite tenderness. And with each exhalation, see if you can feel it flowing out through your body and touching people in your town, in your city. Just allow your body and all the parts of the world that you can conceive and hold in this moment to be filled with unconditional tenderness as the breath flows in and out of your body, which is filled with space. the breath flowing in with tender affection. Flowing out with tender affection. One of the ways we describe the ultimate reality is as spaciousness. It's like a great metaphor for the vastness and the quality of being free. And one of the ways we describe the ultimate reality is as unconditional tenderness. And another of the ways that we describe the ultimate reality is as light. And in the tantric tradition, one of the most beautiful and powerful practices for recognizing our own ultimate divinity is to use your imagination to fill your body with light. So if you need to stretch your body, come out of your posture for a moment, you might want to stretch from side to side, and even better, allow yourself to sway from one buttock to the other, letting your entire weight move towards first the left buttock and then towards the right, as though you were filled with water and you were just letting the water slosh from one side to the other. So your body is swaying. Swaying gently and consciously. So you're not letting your body move and thinking about something else. You're staying with the sway of your body as it flows with the breath to one side and then to the other. And this also is a practice that can allow you to tune into the fundamental rhythm of the Shakti as it expands and contracts. And you can let your sway bring your posture back to center. Again, let the base be heavy. The inner body rise up. Chest lift and open. The shoulder blades melt onto the back. Now imagine that there's a golden flame just at the base of your right big toe. This flame is lustrous. It's translucent, and it's going to fill your body step by step, as we'll describe. The extraordinary thing about this flame is that it's cooling. It's the flame of divine light. It's the flame of divine illumination. So as you inhale, have the sense that this flame enters your right big toe. And the flame fills your toes and begins to run up your foot. You inhale and you feel the flame running up your foot, and you exhale and the flame glows a little brighter. If you're not seeing it, just feel it as an energy, as the energy of illumination. And inhaling, feel it flowing up your right ankle. And exhaling, the flame rises into the calf. It's turning your right calf into flame. And with the inhalation, it rises into your knee. And then with the exhalation, up into your right thigh. So now your entire right leg is aflame, is scintillating with golden light, with golden flame. And the flame now flows across your pelvis, filling your pelvic bones, your sits bones, filling your genital organs, your anus, filling that part of your body with golden flame. And it flows now through the thigh socket, and inhaling, the flame flows down your left thigh. Exhaling, it fills your knee. And now the flame is flowing down your left calf into your ankle, filling the top of your left foot, the bones, the skin, the base, the toes. And you're aware now that both feet and both legs are made of fire, made of light. And the light is leaping and dancing and scintillating and moving. And again, if you're not visualizing it, feel it as the energy of light in your legs. And now the flame, which fills your lower pelvic region, begins to move up through the organs in your abdomen and inside your abdomen. You feel that your uterus and your colon, your intestines, are becoming illuminated, are becoming filled with this golden, leaping, dancing flame. The bones of your pelvis, the pelvic girdle, the coccyx, the flame is now in your spinal column. And you feel it moving up into your liver and your stomach. All your inner organs are aflame. And this light is cooling, it's energizing, it's golden. It's filled with energy, with subtle, beautiful, shimmering, scintillating energy. And the flame now moves up into your rib cage. It sets your rib cage afire. Turns your diaphragm to flame. And you feel it. Golden light illuminating your lungs. Your lungs now are filled with golden flame, with golden light. And any impurities in your lungs, as in your whole body, are being subsumed and consumed in this golden flame, which now fills your back, the back ribs, goes all the way up the spine. And you feel this flame now filling your entire torso. Your heart is aflame. Your shoulders are aflame. The wings of your shoulder blades are consumed by this golden flame. Your entire torso, all the muscles and bones of your shoulders and chest are filled with light. And you feel the light running down your arms, first down the right arm, the light turning the muscles and bones of the upper arm into flame, and then filling the elbow, running down the forearm. And you feel how this flame rejuvenates your inner body, how it fills the muscles of your arms and into your wrists, and your hands are fire. Your palms and your fingers are golden fire. And now the flame runs down your other forearm, your other upper arm, down, consuming the upper arm, turning the elbow to flame, and moving down the forearm and into that hand. And you may feel that your body wants to sway a little bit, wants to move a little bit, as the flame that fills your body dances and moves. And the flame now flows up your neck, into your throat, illuminates the back of your skull and the bones of your chin. And you feel that light fills your mouth, fills the inner cavities of the throat and the nasal cavities in the sinuses. Your cheeks and your nose, the sockets of your eyes, the crown of your head, your hair are aflame. And the brain is filled with the golden light of this eternal, exquisite flame, which is the flame of consciousness, the flame of love. And your body is now made of light, made of subtle fire. And as you inhale and exhale, you feel that this fire, this flame, has the quality of love, has the quality of awareness. It's the flame of your divinity, which fills your dense body and makes it subtle, makes it alive, gives it the quality that is the innermost essence of this body, the light and energy that is the true nature of this body. And just allow yourself to experience how this flame connects you with the flames that are each one of us. So perhaps you can have a sense of these bodies filled with subtle illumination, and that illumination reaching out to connect all of us. Just allow the breath to flow in and out, recognizing that your body, like the flame inside a lamp, is fire. And that this flame is the flame of love, the flame of Shakti, the flame of creativity that becomes the illumination of your life. Just let yourself sit and be present to the extraordinary recognition that what you are is light. So your thoughts are light. Your feelings feelings are light, your sensations are made of light, and your body is a mass of radiant sensation and light. Feel now that a band of light energy flows out of your heart and wraps your body. It wraps your body like a cocoon so that as you go into the evening, any of the edges of your body that have become very open, which might feel vulnerable, are protected by this ribbon, this cocoon of light energy that flows from your heart and becomes a circle of protection around you. This week we're going to be meditating together, practicing with these inner energy centers and practicing also with the sense of light in the body. The listserv will be up for another couple of weeks, and we would very much like to share your experience and to hear your questions, to answer your questions. And you should also know that in this week and for some time to come, the energy vortex that we've created here is going to go on supporting you. And it supports you subtly and energetically, but it also supports you in the ways that we've all been supporting each other, as some of you write in your questions and others of us speak to them and appreciate them, feel that our questions are being asked and answered. And it's also been just an enormous joy, and I hope that it continues to happen, to read your experiences and the shifts that are going on in your lives as a result of doing these practices. The next teleconference course is going to be called What is My Dharma? It's a new class, a new course. It's based on some of the most subtle and practical teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, and it's a class in which we'll really ask ourselves the question, what is my dharma? What is right for me? What am I really meant to do at this time in my life? And ultimately, what is it that's the purpose of my life? How should I be going forward? It's going to offer a series of protocols, questions, contemplations that will really let you work with these issues that are, for so many of us, absolutely fundamental in our lives. What am I supposed to do? What's right for me? What's the right action? So what is my Dharma is, it's a class that comes up in answer to many, many questions that I get from students and from people who read my columns and write in for advice. And what we'll be doing in this class is actually giving you some ways to make decisions, contemplate your life that will be useful for a long time to come. So that class starts the first week of November, and you can find out about it from Debbie. There will also be a mailing going out about it. And once again, let's bring ourselves very deeply into the center of the body, allowing the breath to flow up through the central channel, down through the central channel, in whatever way feels natural to you now, just so that your attention is interiorized. And recognize the presence and the awareness. The light and the tenderness, the sweetness, the love that surrounds you and fills you, that has become you, that lives as you. Recognize your own unchanging, unconditional presence that's even now allowing you to inhabit your body. To welcome every sensation and every thought. And feel in this moment and through this week the infinite blessings of the Tantric sages, whose pleasure in your practice is unconditional and whose love and support is always with you. So with great love, with great joy, with great pleasure, I bid you good night. Don't forget the listserv. You'll be getting a homework assignment. And have a wonderful week. Namaste.